I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle wind on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
Hello, I'm Solazar, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation, right here on Radio Monterey. Now, quantum physics tells us that we're all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We're your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is also the owner-operator of Radio Monterey, bringing you empowered programming radio for the open mind. Magic for Life is also the promoter and producer of the Rhoda Psychic Fair. We just had the Spring Fair at the Monterey Fairgrounds, May 2nd and 3rd, and we're looking forward to the Fall Fair, October 31st and 1st. So we encourage you to visit RhodaPsychicFair.com and get on the email list so you can stay informed and receive all the appropriate discount coupons for coming to our next fair. Now, tonight is going to be very special in several ways. For those of you regular listeners, it's been a month since we've heard the dulcet tones of Kirilani, and she'll be with us in a little while. But she is back. She went from her spiritual retreat in Hawaii to having to brief at a conference in Washington, D.C., and now she's back again, and I am so grateful to have her energy when she is able to join us into the studio. It'll be wonderful to have her back. But we also have back someone else who's very, very special, Mata Aliza Dalyan. Now, she is known as a modern-day mystic, but she's so much more than that. She's a master of healing and transformation, founder of the Lightspeed Dalyan Method for health and consciousness, creator of many meditation CDs, and she's also the author of In Search of the Miraculous Healing into Consciousness, recipient of many book awards, including the Living Now Best Book of the Year Award when it was released. And she's recently put out Healing the Body and Awakening Consciousness with the Dalyan Method, an advanced self-healing system for a new humanity. And she is joining us today from Canada. And we just want to say welcome to Mata from to Good Vibrations Radio. Thank you for coming back and speaking with us.
Thank you for having me, Solazar. I'm very happy to be back. And
yeah, it's always a pleasure to be anywhere near your energy. I'm just going to have to say that. So for the folks who may not have a familiarity with you, can you share a little bit of how you got into this journey of healing and transformation and assistance for others?
It was not planned, and it was not my intention. So it's one of those things that I suppose they unfold as anything in our life. It unfolds when the time is ready and ripe. And the purpose for my work, in a way, has been percolating for many lifetimes. And I would even say that I connected to a memory that I've chosen to come to this planet from a different planet to help heal the pain and suffering that this planet has been surrounded by for a very long time. And there are many of us here who are aware that we have a purpose, we've come here, and especially at this time, this is the time of an opportunity that many people have been preparing for, waiting for, and are ready for the transformation. And I believe that's evident already in the work you're doing, in the work I'm doing, in the work of many people that have been preparing the foundation for this. So with this healing method, Solazar, is in a way coming at the time where all the preparation work has been done. and the awareness has gone, risen to a place where people can understand and embrace a method like this because it completely bypasses the mind.
And so is that, would you consider that the unique distinction of the Dalian method, or is there more that says this stands alone from other healing modalities out there for these reasons?
Absolutely, there's a lot more. It works, first of all, this is a very, very mathematical system, and it works with the entire human being in terms of the physical, the mental, emotional, spiritual. It works with the unconscious, the personal unconscious, the cosmic unconscious, and of course the personal conscious and the cosmic conscious. So this is a method that engulfs and it brings everything together into one system. And truly, if we are to transform and to heal, we must look at all these aspects that make us who we are, because we're not just a physical body. We have the emotional body, we have the mental body, we have the spiritual body, we have the unconscious that we've brought with us, that we've lived for many, many lifetimes, and obviously the lessons that we've brought with us, the ripeness of the soul that has come with it. All these things are part of our human existence, this temporary existence that we're here for. And the method addresses all these areas simultaneously.
And I think one thing I want to share from this beautiful set, which is a book and two CD sets, Healing the Body and Awakening Consciousness with the Dalian Method, is that it asks us to go into it consciously. I think so many of us have gotten to this point at this time through all the unconscious actions, activities, emotions, everything that we've chosen, but unconsciously. And now we have to consciously work to do the healing involved. And the way you've laid out the book, including the workbook toward the end where it says, here's your preparation for your session, it's really saying, please be conscious as you go into this so that you're fully committed to the result.
It helps to have the focus and a certain understanding. I've tried to make it so that people understand the key principles of the system and also have a certain preparation. But what will come out as a result of practice, it's completely going to be a surprise. And it's always been a surprise to people, because what the system does is allows people to go into the body and start releasing, first of all, accessing those repressed thoughts and emotions in the body. Mm-hmm. And as these are released, as the clouds that disappear, suddenly consciousness comes to the forefront and suddenly the lessons are learned. Just to give you an example, I worked with someone today. I still do one-on-one sessions. I prefer people to start doing them on their own, but I still do one-on-one sessions. And the person that came today, he's 65-year-old retired lawyer, and he didn't even mention this to me when he came for certain ailments that he wanted me to look at, certain issues. So as we started with the method and started releasing some of the initial layers of the fear, of the sadness, etc., and suddenly we came to a place where in his unconscious there was an experience or a belief. He was a twin. He was born 7 months premature, and his twin brother didn't make it. He died shortly after birth. Now, can you imagine now? So what's happening here? He feels obviously guilty that maybe I did something and I pushed him out. There was a struggle, who's going to survive? And then the parents, their grief. And he lived with it for 65 years, and he tried intellectually, mentally, he tried many other things to understand why things happened. And he came to certain logical conclusions, but none of those conclusions were what he saw during the session with DM. And what we came to see, and this is where that consciousness that's deep inside comes to the surface once we start accessing the unconscious, not with the head, but with the method. So what came up was that he saw that him and his twin brother had made an agreement from a previous lifetime that they will come together. And he, this man is a very powerful, strong person, very kind man, and but afraid to use his power. So that was another thing that, why is he afraid to use his power? So then all these things are in the unconscious, not accessed. So with the method, we came to see, or he came to see, that, as a matter of fact, his brother didn't make it because he just gave up. He wasn't a fighter like he was. And not only that, he also saw that the brother came to help him this lifetime to learn to become conscious of his aloneness and to make friends with it and to embrace his aloneness and basically wake up. Because without embracing our aloneness, we cannot wake up. We always depend on somebody else to help us or to do things for us. When he saw that, can you imagine the liberation? First of all, the forgiveness of himself, that now I can forgive and love myself because it wasn't my fault.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for this soul who helped me come back to myself. And also the understanding and gratitude toward the parents, and feeling that all his life he felt that he made a mistake somewhere, you see? And that was also in the unconscious in the body. So with that, the fear to make mistakes, the fear of or taking on other people's emotions and feelings, so all those things, suddenly he can let go and can free other people from responsibility, because once you understand, I need to learn to be alone, then you're taking responsibility for your own life. So all these things happen in a very short 1.5 hours. And it's like you have leaps and bounds of growth in a very short time.
Yeah, you even have, if I may quote from one of the people from your website that said, they said, your method is nothing less than miraculous. They spent the last 5 years on three different antidepressants as well as extensive therapy. And the work they did with you pushed them ahead light years in regards to healing. They no longer take medications. And they say, you won't be sorry to try this method. So we want to let folks know that your website is madadalian.com. That's madadalian.com. They can also go to the guest page of goodvibrationsradio.com and connect over that way. And they can look at the variety of tools that you offer, because not only, as you mentioned, do you do one-on-ones, but you also do webinars. You've got an intensive coming up at the end of June. You also have online training that people can take, as well as this Healing the Body and Awakening Consciousness book and CDs, two CD sets that people can get to start their own healing journey. So it's never too late to start. Is that correct?
That's absolutely right.
Yes. So we want everybody. I think sometimes, you know, when you spoke about this gentleman, you know, and this lawyer at his age, and I think all of us, if we're human, can look at some element, some point, or some choices we've made in our life as a result of fear. And that fear is always emotionally based somewhere. It's emotionally based in some place that we don't want to consciously face when we make the fear-based choice. We just don't want to resolve it, lift it, release it. That's being human. There's nothing for anyone listening to have any bad thoughts about that. But there's no reason for us to carry it forever.
Mm-hmm.
Two different issues. So you also have a one-day workshop coming up on May 23rd in Palo Alto. It's at the Institute for the Advancement of Science and Consciousness. Would you tell the listeners a little bit about what they could expect there?
Yes. We will be experimenting. Well, everybody will have that opportunity to experience with the method. And I will give personal guidance, obviously, through that. And we'll experience probably one or two active meditations as well. And people are welcome to bring their issues, whatever issues they have. And I can address them. I could look at the causes, because the bottom line is, until we access the causes of our dysfunction, so to speak, we cannot really do anything about it. So if there's any physical issues or mental issues or emotional issues that people are struggling with, and most people who come to me, they say, I've done everything and I still feel stuck. And these are the kind of people that are very happy to come, because they're looking for a solution. And I'm happy that they have done everything, because in a way it prepares them for what they can do through this system. And frankly, Solarzar, it's really incredible for me to see every time I see a transformation, I am in awe myself. And I look at this system from outside. I don't look at it as I was fortunate enough to be the creator of this. I just look at it because when I was creating it, I explored step by step how the body is working, how's the energy working, what's holding in the body, what's holding in the energy, what kind of thoughts, emotions, and having the gift to actually hear those thoughts precisely in the energy helped me to start exploring and experimenting with this method. And of course, it also uses breathing, because breathing is very important for us to access those areas that we hold. And we, oftentimes you spoke of fear. How do we hold on to fear is by holding our breath. So this helps us to go and break through many fears. It helps to bring us to the childhood issues that are still sitting in the body. And nothing disappears in existence until it is transformed. Nothing disappears in the body until it is transformed. The moment it's transformed, then the weight is lifted and you automatically start feeling lighter and more expansive in consciousness.
Well, you have a wonderful illustration also on page 53 of the book, where you're talking about working through the seven chakras, and you show a wheel of the chakra energy in gray, which shows the different types of fears we hold in our different chakras. And then you have the color wheel, which shows the transformation and the different types of thoughts and feelings that come out of transforming. For instance, I'm afraid to be hurt, or I don't trust myself. Those are thoughts that most human beings have had, probably all have had at some point or another. But yet through your method, you allow us to transform those so our energy flows, our chakras are balanced, and we're actually looking forward, and we're hopeful, we're optimistic, we're able to achieve our purpose and goals. It's very powerful, very, very powerful.
It is, and you know, the more people do it, and I have people who've done this since I was exploring, experimenting. Even before I wrote the book, I did a lot of experiments with people when I was devising the self-healing version of it. And the same people who are doing it now on their own with the CDs, they emailing me, Mata, this is genius. You're a genius. And they've done it so many times, and every time they say, normally when I do something, I get bored and I leave it aside. But with this one, I get excited.
Oh, well, that's excellent. And as I mentioned, Kira and I went through it over the weekend playing the CD. And for both of us, going through a period of deep stress, not with each other, but just deep stress of the things going on in our lives, there was a real peace that came over. And we both found ourselves sleeping well and feeling rested from a period of rushing and stressing. So we still have to do it more. But that was just from that one listening, that one session, and we felt the lift right away. So
wonderful. And just for the listeners, Salazar, you mentioned that you actually participated by following the instructions. So I'm very, very weary when we talk about it and we say listening, because I don't want people to think they're just going to listen.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes. Yes. That's right.
Instructions and do something with it.
Yeah, you have to be a part of the process in order for it to be work. Well, and I think that goes also, I just want to jump back to what I mentioned earlier, and I mentioned it for the sake of the listeners, that there's some pre and post exercises identified in the book to make us, one, more conscious, more aware, more focused, more engaged, more involved, to be paying attention to what's going on with us. And participate in the process. It's not a pass. Unfortunately, too many Americans, we just want to sit back and wait for some pill to fix us, and that never does fix us.
Uh-huh.
But when we become a part of our process and become the healer that we are through the use of your method, we are truly engaged in life, and I think that that's wonderful. But you mentioned, too, that you felt this was the time for this particular set. You had, you know, great, many, many people have gone through in search of the miraculous healing into consciousness, which really identified and detailed your method at that time. But you felt this was the time for this set. So what is it that makes this the time for healing the body and awakening consciousness with the Dalian method and the accompanying CD set?
I think people needed to experience many other methods, or needed to come to a place to understand that responsibility is theirs and nobody can really fix it. Just like you said, the medication cannot fix it. Nobody else can fix it either. It's an individual choice.
Yeah.
And this is precisely what many people have come to realize now. And those are the people that are ready. They have done the preparation work, as I said earlier. And those are the people who get attracted to this kind of a method, because they understand ultimately I have to do something about my own life. It's nobody else's fault. And I can't keep blaming my parents for something that they didn't do for me. So at least
I can't. I missed that when I was doing the exercises. All right, take that off the list. Darn.
Yeah, it's all about that, isn't it? The self-responsibility and understanding that I have the power. Existence gave me everything I need. So I have to stop being a beggar, and I can take my life into my own hands.
Well, and I think in the United States, we have such a polarization in our political process. So I'm not going to turn this political. But I think a lot of people in our political structure in the United States have this whole premise of taking my life in my own hands means I should never get a hand from somebody. I should never get assisted or aided by anyone in life. And I want to clarify that that's not what Mata is talking about. Mata is talking about taking responsibility for every area of your life where you can. And saying, what can I do? How can I be better right where I am? I don't need another thing. I don't need another car, house, set of clothes, education. Right now, what can I do to be better, to heal myself, to be a better manifestation of who I am? Because if each of us are doing that, what a great world this is going to be. Now, people listening to this show have heard a variety of different healing methods. And, you know, some people will clearly say that, you know, this is the only way to go and that's the only way to go. And I want to stress that even though you're not saying that, this is a very gentle, loving, healing way for everyone to go. And that's what I think makes it somehow stand aside, because people can do this with themselves before they even go to see a practitioner or have a session with Mata. They can be doing it with themselves and feeling the healing going on within them.
Well, let me take you even a step further. I just started the first facilitator training with the method.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And many people who don't feel like, oh, I don't know if I can figure it out by myself. I don't know if I can actually manage. The facilitators will be there to assist people through the first round of the method so that people then can feel more confident mm-hmm. and work with it on their own. And some of the facilitators that are in the training right now, there are two doctors, MDs, there's Air Canada pilot, there's yoga teacher and craniosacral therapist. Mm. So they realize that something's missing in what they've been doing. Especially my alternative practitioners, they realize that they haven't been going to the core. And that's why I say everybody has done, or some preparation has been done. And for people who haven't done that preparation, all the other methods are perfectly good. They can work with it if they choose. And I'm not saying that this is a better or worse or whatever. All I'm saying is that it's like going to school. We go and we learn ABC, then we can't keep doing the ABC forever. Then we start learning how to read, then we read more complex material, and then we're ready for high school, and then we're ready for university. So this is at the PhD level of the methods, if you will.
And I the reason I said what I said is because, one, you don't say that this is the only way to go for people. You're not putting it out there, but I think you put it out there with two things that I would like to stress for the listeners, and just let the listeners know that she has no idea what I'm going to say right now. But one is, I think you put this out there with a lot of heart. Heart comes through everything you do. And if it's coming through heart, I think it has much more power. And it's also, because it's coming through heart, it's very gentle. There's nothing about this that is abrasive or abrupt to anybody. It doesn't actually require, even though you've said you're training the facilitators now, but it doesn't require somebody to go have session after session after session mm-hmm. with some supposedly specially trained practitioner who may not even be expressing through heart. So even when you talked about the people taking your training, these are people who have said, you know, there's more that needs to come through me and as a result of what I do. And so they're becoming facilitators. And I still think if they're being trained by you, they're being trained by heart.
Thank you, Solozar. That's your you hit the bullseye. Yeah. Because, like I said earlier, I've waited for a long time to manifest this or release this from carrying the responsibility for this, because it's a very intricate and delicate method. In a sense, as you mentioned, it's very gentle, but it's also very powerful. And because it has many dimensions that it works with, and obviously for me to explain all these dimensions, somebody must travel with me for a while to get all the nooks and corners. But but that's the purpose of the training, for people to have a deeper understanding. But you're absolutely right. People don't need to do, they don't need a facilitator. If they can manage to do it on their own, that's beautiful. And that's my purpose, my main focus. But I'm covering my grounds in a way that if they do need, or if they need to work with me, like this gentleman today, he said, I bought your book, I read the book twice, and before I do the CDs, I just wanted to come and have first-hand experience with you, and then I'll, you know, do it by myself. So everybody has their own way, and some people do the method on their own for quite some time, and then they feel, now I need some kind of intervention. That's when they can take advantage of somebody else's vision to mm-hmm. help bring them deeper, because the deeper people go into the unconscious, sometimes they encounter things that they've been avoiding for a long time. So that's why I'm covering my grounds, that I'm training people at the same time as encouraging people to work with this on their own. So hopefully, ultimately, and that's what my trainees are being taught, that your focus is, because my focus has always been, Solozar, when somebody comes to me, I don't want to see them again.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't want to see them. They're horrible people. It's just, I feel like...
So do you ever say to somebody, I just saw you 10 years ago. Why are you back?
And they ask me, when can I come and see you again? Yeah. And I look and I go, well, maybe, you know, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, maybe. Some people I've told them 3 months, 6 months, because I know that they need time to integrate the new awareness. And mm-hmm. in the book, I give people absolutely the awareness and understanding that they must do a follow-up homework that will help them to manifest these awarenesses that they get into their daily lives through action, because through action is how we get a new experience. Mm-hmm. And with that new experience, suddenly go, oh, it wasn't so bad. I can stand up for myself. I don't need to be afraid to say what I feel. And the moment you give yourself permission, because you realize that, suddenly you go, oh, this wasn't so bad. And then your body starts remembering your awareness instead of remembering your beliefs that are running like a program.
Mm-hmm.
So that, in that sense, the multidimensional nature of the method is also multidimensionally helps people wherever they are on their journey, and people could go with their own pace. And that's the most important, in my view, is that there is transformation. And I have seen over and over again that transformation cannot occur through the mind. It's impossible. Even with the case that I just described now, and I have hundreds of cases like this, that people have tried with the mind, but they haven't been able to access. Only their inner knower can know the truth, and it always knows the truth. And the moment that inner knower is accessed, which I call consciousness, I could call it inner knower. Once it's accessed and you see it, you can't go back anymore. You can't start, the belief that I did something wrong, it just vanishes. Because you see that, oh, now I see the big picture. This was the lesson. And I am now so grateful for this soul who helped me. I'm so grateful to my parents who helped me. This is how people transform and expand in their consciousness. And to me, that brings me joy. It brings me a lot of joy to see somebody transform and somebody get to be free. It's like puncturing little holes through that cloud of pain and suffering, which is actually our own creation.
From all the choices we did or did not make.
That's right. And keeping that identification with the ego. And that's why in Search of the Miraculous, I don't know if you remember, but I emphasize on the need to heal the wounded ego first.
Mm-hmm. And so, you talk about the ego in each of the chakras, in each of the bodies.
That's right.
Within In Search of the Miraculous, which I found very fascinating, because we tend to only think of it as a mental thing, as opposed to something that gets embedded inside the core of each part of us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, that's precisely what my 8-week online course is doing. I'm just doing one now. We just did week 3. Where I look into each person's chakras to see what are the beliefs holding there. So then they can precisely work with those on their own with the method.
And is that what the intensive is at the end of June also, that's on your website?
The intensive will be using the Osho Dynamic Meditation.
Mm-hmm.
So this is slightly different. People can use my system alongside, and I encourage them to do so. With the dynamic, it's more physical. So we're getting more of those, we're working with breath a lot. So we're getting the breath to really hit those areas in the body that normally we wouldn't breathe into. So what Osho tried to do with the dynamic meditation, in a way, the system, DM system, does the same thing and takes it a little bit further in terms of learning the lessons. You can see the lessons, you can learn the lessons, you can start developing your inner witness, But because the inner witness is the most important thing in order for us to disidentify from the ego, that's why I love incorporating Osho's active meditations. Mm-hmm. And because my own awakening experience happened through the Osho dynamic meditation, it's something that I love to incorporate in my teachings and in my workshops, so people can have different experiences through that system, which is extremely powerful as well.
So we want to let folks know that they can go to madadalyan.com to pick up their copy of Healing the Body and Awakening Consciousness with the Dalyan Method. And also that if they purchase that, they get lifetime access to the webinars where you talk about that and walk through it. And that first one, of course, is June 13th at 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. And so folks who are interested in, if they feel they can't even get to a physical person, they at least could be doing this with you and also through the webinars and doing it with you through the book and CD set and working on their healing. So, Mana, I hadn't asked you as a prelude, but would you be able to take us through a short little meditation or a short little exercise of breathing to help us all de-stress from our normal lives?
Yes, we can do that, although I don't like to do to work with imagination so much. Mm-hmm. So I can probably use a little element here with DM, with my system.
Sure.
And maybe we can do it that way. And before I forget it, when you...
Well, I'm happy to also be your subject if you want me to be responsive or say things.
I think each person needs to do this mm-hmm. on their own.
Okay.
And otherwise, the mind gets confused a little bit. So, and what I wanted to mention before we go into that quick sample, that I have a talk at on May 22nd at East West Bookstore Bookshop.
Oh, it was the 22nd.
22nd in Mountain View, and oh no, sorry, 21st evening time. I'm confused here. 21st evening time, Mountain View East West Bookstore, and then the 22nd at the Foundation Mind Body Research. I have a talk there, and I'll do a little demonstration with some illustrations, and then the one day workshop will follow that, which
on
is
the 23rd.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
I love coming to the Bay Area because there's so many people that I already know, made friends with, and a lot of people, there's a lot of awareness. So thank you, and you're obviously an example of that. You're
well, thank you.
A lot of awareness. So, and thank you for having me on your show.
It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward, actually, to be there.
Yeah, good. So remind folks again, go to the events page on madadalyan.com, May 21st at East West, the Mind Body Institute on the 22nd, and a one-day workshop on the 23rd. So take a look at that and put it on your calendars.
Okay, good. So let's go into a very quick maybe sample of this.
Thank you.
So what I would ask you to do now, I didn't know this is going to be challenging for you, Salazar, because if I ask you to express out loud, you're going to be heard on a radio, so I don't know how we can do this.
Well, I could always turn my mic off and say, if you ask everybody to do it out loud, they won't hear me.
Okay, that sounds great. All right, so let's do that. You can turn your mic off. And what I'd like you to do, just focus your awareness to your breath, bring your focus to your breath. Take a few deep breaths in, and with your mouth open, exhale out through your feet. And it's a good idea for you to sit with your feet on the floor. So take a few deep breaths in and mouth open. Just relax and let the breath be fully emptied, the lungs be fully emptied. And think of... maybe the easier way to do this, think of something that has been on your mind, that has been bothering you. You've been thinking about it, but you haven't really verbalized it. You haven't expressed it. And what I'd like you to do now is take a deep breath in and verbalize out loud whatever's been bothering you. And it doesn't matter. You have to do this without any judgment. It does not matter what it is. It could be something you wanted to say to somebody and you didn't. Or it's something that you've been feeling internally that's been bothering you and you have been keeping it inside. So now take a deep breath, verbalize it out loud, loudly, and exhale out. And on the second breath, pay attention where in your body that thought is. And then breathe again, verbalize, and exhale. And do this a few times. Breathe in, verbalize out loud, and exhale. And also at the same time, watch to see how you judge the thought, whether it's good, it's okay to express, not okay to express, or your judgments of yourself. I can't express that I'm angry, or I can't express that I'm frustrated, or I can't say that I'm afraid. So watch the judgment at the same time, whether you're allowing yourself to say this freely or you're judging your own thought and your own emotion. And even if sometimes it's a blame, that you want to blame somebody else for the way you feel, go ahead and just express that blame as well and breathe out. And perhaps you might want to stand up and shake your body, because now the body wants to move. Just shake your body and continue verbalizing. And you can kick with your feet. You can kick with your legs and stomp your feet and just exhale out through your feet. Verbalize, exhale out through your feet. And then see what next thought that comes to your awareness. Is there another thought that's coming now? That's coming to the surface. Verbalize that. And at this point, I don't want to take you any further, because I'm going to take you deeper. And because I'm not taking you through all the parts of the body, I need to stop here, because a lot of things will come up for people. And then I don't want to leave anybody in a mess without being concluded, because the full system will take 90 minutes to finish. And what happens is we start from what's in the body on the surface level, and then slowly, slowly we peel away layer by layer. And then we go through different parts, through different chakras. So the system would work with all the seven chakras, the back of the head, the third eye, the feet, the knees. And it's a way, the way it's designed, that we go back and forth through different areas that I would ask you to verbalize and exhale from, so that I bring you to the place where you can actually start seeing the lessons that are hidden in your experiences. And the moment you see that lesson, a clarity or a new awareness, then the system will help you to ground that awareness in your entire body. And then you'll feel the shift, internal shift. And the mind cannot do these things. So this is the system that bypasses the mind and brings you to your whole body, and brings you to your working with unconscious, and brings your consciousness out to the surface and your inner strength. So, but we need to go step by step.
All right, excellent. Thank you so much for doing that. I know it was unexpected, and I don't know what the listener's experience was, but even for me, although I wouldn't have felt that this was a stressful day, I was feeling release. I just feel release. I feel an engaged release, and I'm looking forward to go home tonight and continuing that. So we want to remind folks, this is Healing the Body, Awakening Consciousness with the Dalian Method. It's a book, which is also not only a book of explanation, but it's also a workbook. It explains how the process works, how to get engaged with it. It provides two CDs. As Mata mentioned to me earlier, one is an MP3, which for some reason I didn't pay attention to. But it wouldn't work in the CD player, and I didn't put in the in the computer. But one is an MP3. CD1 will work in your computer, and CD2 will work in your CD player. But it's a wonderful process for taking ourselves through the healing of the natural healing process of who we are. And as you said, bypassing the mind and releasing those places where we're emotionally stuck. And those places are often deep and icky, and we've spent a lot of time trying to keep from looking. And this is a wonderful way to get that release out there.
Mm-hmm. And not only release, it will bring you to transformation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's precisely why I say it's the PhD method, because it will allow you to do lots of things all at the same time.
And we want to let folks know that you have a variety of products on your website that they can also explore for meditation. You're especially coming from a Osho background, but the meditation is a very big part of a practice that all of us should incorporate in some form or another.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot of products that you offer to assist people in their meditation, as well as you have online events, you have the physical events that we talked about, starting with East West on the 21st here in Palo Alto, East West Bookstore, and then the 22nd and 23rd. You have webinars, and you have your books, and you're always available. People can sign up to get the latest news by signing up to your email list. So, Mata, two things. I want to thank you for joining us once again on Good Vibrations Radio, as well as putting this product out. And I would like to thank you for having agreed to come here to this world at this time to share all this wonderful work with us.
And I'd like to thank you for facilitating this Solar Star, because without you, it's difficult to pass to let people know.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. So are there any final thoughts or words you would like to share with the listeners before we cut away for the top of the hour?
Yes. What I'd like to say is that this is a very important time in history, and we have a great opportunity. So what I would like to tell people is, really pay attention whether you are serious in wanting to transform, wanting to find your truth. And if you are serious, then I hope you are, then do everything possible, because time is moving very fast now. We're in a time of quickening, and what seems like before would take a month, now it seems like just 2-3 days, and suddenly the month is gone. And there's a reason for this. The reason is that the time is disappearing, and we have an opportunity to change the clock around so that we start as a new humanity and a new species. So do what you can. Otherwise, it's going to be very difficult to ride that big wave that's coming.
Well, thank you for that, and thank you for sharing that. And if you'll hold on a minute, we want to let folks know that we've been talking to Mata Aliza Dalyan, and you can go to matadalyan.com to find out more about what she's offering. You can also go to the guest page of goodvibrationsradio.com and connect right over to her website. And as we go break away to the top of the hour, we're going to go with a little Melissa Etheridge and Heal Me.
Ain't it crazy? For a moment there, this felt just like dying. But now I see that something inside is coming alive. Ain't it crazy? No use running from a revolution. I just surrender to this.
can enjoy an evening of inspiration, personal growth, intellectual stimulation, and powerful energy for transformation at the Circle of Light. Connect with other adventurous souls seeking the expanded view outside the box. Join us at the Circle of Light on the third Friday of each month at the Unitarian Sanctuary, 490 Aguajito Road, Carmel, just off the PG Pebble Beach exit of Highway 1. Doors open at 7 p.m. General admission is $11, $9 for students and seniors. Call 484-1923 for more information.
Hello, I'm Solazar.
Hi, I'm Kirilani, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation on Radio Monterey.
Been a long time since you've heard that, haven't you? So quantum physics tells us that we are all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We're your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is the owner-operator of Radio Monterey, bringing you empowered programming. It's radio for the open mind. Visit RadioMonterey.com. Take a look at all the wonderful information and wisdom being shared by our talented hosts that we've collected from around the country to bring you special information. Find out which information you'd like to hear and start adopting it, listening to it, and changing your life. Turn the lead in your life into gold. Magic for Life is also the promoter of the Rota Psychic Fair. We just had the Rota Psychic Fair right here at the Monterey Fairgrounds, May 2nd and 3rd. We were very excited. We were very excited to have that wonderful event. It was a great time had by all. I did a fabulous show on Saturday evening. And so we hope to see all of you once again and more for our fall fair, October 31st and November 1st. So visit rotapsychicfair.com. Get on our email list so you can be notified of what's coming up and when. And also so you can receive those wonderful discount coupons that we passed out through email and social media. So that was it. But Kirilani is with us, and so she's going to share. She has some things she wants to share in her Go With The Flow.
Well, thanks, Elazar. And wow, it's so great to be back and to be with everyone. And I've been gone for so long. I have all this stuff stored up to share with you. So we're going to cram as much in an hour as we can. But because we did not do our monthly call since I was in Hawaii, we're going to share a lot of that content with you on the air tonight. So first of all, here we are all the way in May, and May is this amazing part of the year every year. It is the most powerful month for creation that we have of the whole year because it brings that vibrational energy of creation, of co-creation with the divine, and it's right in the heart of the creative cycle of the year, which is the first 6 months of the year. So here we are in a year that's all about self-love. And this is coming on the heels of a year that was devoted to self-truth. So the truth that we see about ourselves is what liberates us. It allows us to be free from all those things that have been holding us back, that have been holding us in misconceptions of who we are, and all those things that we have judged ourselves to be less than or unworthy in some way. We can look at it in a new way. And in doing so, in accepting all the experiences that we've had in our life, gain a greater level of self-acceptance. And through seeing the truth of who we are, gain a greater level of self-confidence and self-realization of who we are that allows us to choose different ways of acting, different ways of believing, different ways of unlocking anywhere where we're being diminished or being held back. That's that energy of the 2015. And as we do that, it enriches every area of our life. it brings a level of prosperous abundance, which is not just on a financial level, it's on a physical level. So think about all of the stress hormones that run around your body when your self-talk is constantly judgmental or critical, or when you fear failing or you fear other people's judgment. That is sending all of this cortisol coursing through your veins. And that stress is one of the leading causes of degenerative conditions. So we think about all of these things, these bugaboos of self-worth, and they have a downstream effect physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. So as we accept more the truth of who we are, we get those positive benefits flowing through us. We let go of those old baggage, the old burdens, the old stories, and allow us to be birthed anew. We can create anything that we want. We can accept that we are these limitless, amazing, miraculous beings that are here to co-create with the divine. And that's when life starts getting to be really, really fun. So in the month of May, think of your whole life as this beautiful garden. And if every thought and every action, or every thought and every emotion you have was a seed that you are planting in that garden, and every action you take is either an action to water and fertilize and nourish that seed, to encourage it to grow, or to weed it out, to thwart it, to ignore it, to fail to water it. How do your actions support your dreams and desires for this life? And the time right now, as Mata was sharing in the first hour, is so pregnant. It is so full. It is so rich. And it is so precious. What are we spending our time doing? Where are we putting our energy, our focus, our attention? Because that is directing those seeds. That attention and focus is designing what your garden is going to be. So use the time wisely, as Salazar would say. And here we are, all the way up to the mental week of the month. So this is the time. Our mind's greatest value is in the focus it provides. As we go into limitlessness, it's essential that we guide the direction of all of that power, of all that limitless potential. And if you use your mind like a laser beam to focus in on what your heart desires, what your physical body already knows is possible, and align with your spirit to say, I'm willing to uplift all these things that I think I want to how it aligns with my truth and my overall plan in life, and partner with the divine, partner with all of my bodies within me that I can't become unified, and partner with like-minded beings who have the same desires and dreams, our creative capacity is exponentially increased. So we've talked in the last year or two, or even the last few years, how this is our way of creating is changing. We are now deep into a we're still at the beginning parts, but we're in a millennium that is all about connection. And as we start to create, you begin to realize that where things accelerate, where things amplify, where things start becoming magic is in our interaction with each other. It's not creating off in a basement by ourselves. The magic comes from that interaction with others. The learning about ourselves comes from the interaction with others. And yet in a self-love year, we've said this before, it's all an inside job. So the quality of those relationships around you, around each of us, is going to be improved based on that relationship with ourself. That's the first, most fundamental one, our relationship with our soul. So if we look at how the energy of the month and the year come together, so you have a year about self-love. You have a month that's about creativity. You're in a millennium that's about relationships. And when we pull that together for this month of May, beautiful month of May, it brings that energy of Christ consciousness, of cosmic consciousness. And it brings again another dose of that power of connection, that power of relationship. So as we go through this month, it's asking us, are we willing to create all of our relationships up to a higher level? Are we willing to expand our connection in the world? Are we willing to leave behind this delusion of separation? Because our true power of creation comes with aligning with the earth, aligning with the heavens, aligning with all the beings, not just humans, all sentient beings, and focusing our creative power together in the direction that we want to go. So we're going to talk more about this later in the hour, but that gives us like a little bit of a dose of the big picture of the go with the flow. And we have some special things going on, particularly this week, that I think are great opportunities to take advantage of, given this energy of the month of May. So, Salazar, I don't know if we, do you want to talk a little bit about this, what's going on this week?
Sure, sure. So, actually, as many of you already know, we just had a new moon in Taurus last evening at 9:13 p.m. Pacific. Now, the new moon in Taurus offers us two wonderful opportunities. One, it's a new moon. It's always a good birthing time. It's that time of creative energy. It's the time of getting your intentions clear. And Lord knows, you all should know, that all we've been saying all year, this year, is get very clear on your intentions. Be explicit. Be clear. And this is between you and your intentions. Don't be vague. Don't change them from day to day. Be very clear on what's most important to you. And then today, Mercury has gone retrograde also in Gemini. So it's going to be retrograde until June 11th. So this is going to be an interesting period. Now, the new moon in Taurus is a good time for, we're going to have the advantage of that stubbornness of the Taurus, where it's a good time to move forward. You'll have the determination and persistence to see things through, especially if you're clear on that intention. But it can also make us too stubborn in the wrong areas. So you're going to have to keep evaluating that, because stubbornness is stubbornness. Remember, you'll be stubborn as a mule. So if someone has an idea that makes sense to you, be willing and open to receive it. Don't immediately say, it's not my idea, I'm not going to go for it. Now, excuse me. Now, today, as Mercury goes retrograde in Gemini, just as we're getting this persistence, this ability to see things through from the new moon in Taurus, we've got Mercury going in retrograde, so we have all the traditional Mercury things to watch out for. Communication will become vague, unclear, garbled. Technology issues may surface. We may have computer, phone, even auto problems. Things will start having some challenges that will show up, and our ability to communicate with other people about them will also seem to be unclear. So we have to pay better attention. But since it's a Mercury retrograde, this one also being in Gemini and with the new moon in Taurus is going to drive us a little bit more internal. So this will be a period when people may not be saying what they mean. Let it go. Don't push. Don't persist it. But examine how it's affecting you inside. What's really important to come out of this retrograde period is how it impacted you, how it impacted you emotionally, how it impacted you spiritually. And whether I understand how it impacted you or not is of no consequence. So don't spend your time trying to tell other people what's going on with you. This is about you working with you. Later in this week, the sun's going to enter Gemini. So we're going to be leaving Taurus and going into Gemini. And Gemini is that friendly, outgoing, social sign. Challenges, sometimes it likes to be a little bit like Libra and look at all sides of things. So sometimes they appear to be a little indecisive, but that's not really true. Geminis are into information. They'll look at all sides of a thing. They do seem a little less focused. They won't have the persistence of the Taurus. So this is the time to take that energy of the new moon and keep pushing forward. Gemini is a little bit, when we go into this period, almost going to be like two people walking alongside each other. After all, it's the twins. So you're going to find yourself starting to debate yourself about your intentions. Let me say it again. Now is the time to be very clear about your intentions. Don't wait another week. It's going to be harder to be clear. And whatever clear intention you lay down now, be willing to walk it through. Give it some time. Don't surrender by the end of the week, because that will be the Gemini influence coming in on you. So while Gemini will be social, be happy, be friendly, be outgoing, it's not a good one for focus. And you need to take advantage of the focus energy we've got right now and move forward. So that's what's in place for right at this moment, Kira.
Well,
this week.
Yeah, and I wanted to add a little bit to that, because the numerology actually supports what's happening astrologically really very well. So yesterday when you said we had that new moon in Taurus come in, that was also a day where you have access really to everything under heaven and earth, everything from Alpha to Omega. And so it gives a great opportunity between yesterday and today. Today is a portal of new beginnings. It's a portal of that unification with the all, the I am consciousness, the realizing that we're an integral part of the web of life, that we are not separate, that really was an illusion. So it's a tremendous, great opportunity when you look at the new moon and then this portal coming together to sit down and focus on those intentions. And if you haven't done that for this year yet, like Mata said, the world's moving really fast and you kind of blew by New Year's and blew by spring equinox. Sit down tonight and say just three things. What are my three intentions that I want to plant in this beautiful, fertile soil of creativity right now? What are some of those things that I want to focus on for this time period? And you have a lot of juice of the energy of the universe behind you. Be willing to try new things, to try new experiences, to try out new concepts, because part of that learning who we truly are is being willing to get out of our comfort zone, to open our hearts more, to say, maybe I don't know everything about the world these days. Maybe I'm willing to let go of knowing or thinking that I know anything, and be willing to go into that energy of conception and birth that Salazar talked about, and rebirth yourself anew. I feel like coming back from my time in Hawaii, that's a lot of what that process was about, of saying, how do you find that little spark inside of you, that point of purity, and say, what if I could create from that place in every day? Leave behind the old burdens, all the things that we've been carrying and struggling with, and allow them to be transformed. And start creating from that knowledge inside that we are divine. We are beings of the divine. We are the very fabric of love and light. What if we could create from that place? And we can. So what if we just start doing it in little ratios, a little bit more every day? So that kind of, I'm looking to see if there's any other little magic power things happening this week. Yes, yes, before we come back and talk to you again.
Did you want to mention today's portal or did you?
I did.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
We also on Friday have a great day to tap into your own clarity and wisdom of your soul. That's when we start into the spiritual week of the month. And it's that great juncture between the mental and spiritual where you can get those glimpses of clarity, where you can take whatever the dilemmas are that you think you have in your life and say, hey, I am awake and listening and open to whatever wisdom my heart and my spirit can share with me that can provide insights on which way to go, on whether this is the appropriate time or not, on whether this is the appropriate action or not. And then that brings us to this great time period on Saturday where we have a beautiful combination again of that energy of wisdom, but it's brought together with that highest aspect of the realization and the fulfillment of who you are, who you came into this life to be. And combined, that creates this portal of, again, the energy of this month of unconditionality, unconditional love and hope and trust and faith. So you've got a very powerful week to work with, and I think it's really kind of exciting and timely that we get to share what's happening with the energy. Salazar, did you have more to share? Because otherwise I was going to kind of expand more on that theme of the unconditionality.
There's something that I did want to bring up, but I could probably do it if do the unconditionality now.
Okay. And Salazar shared something on the Facebook page, I think maybe yesterday or earlier. Okay. But it's beautiful because it ties directly into what I wanted to talk about and share tonight. And it's a quote from the Dalai Lama. We can let the circumstances of our lives harden us so that we become increasingly resentful and afraid, or we can let them soften us and make us kinder. You always have the choice. And it's encouraging us to choose kindness. And at one point, we had a guest on the show, and Salazar, I need you to help me with the name because I'm having a hard time pulling it back, whose whole work is around choosing to be kind. And am I being kind? Can you remember his name?
Yeah, he was Michael. His name is Michael.
He was from Vermont.
Well, it was the Kindness Center, yeah. and there's a whole thing he does on kindness, and I'm sorry that I don't remember his name, but it was Michael. I remember
and
that.
And he is really wonderful work. And how I kind of got on this this kick was I was thinking about this concept of the energy of unconditionality and unconditional love.
Michael Chase.
There you go, Michael Chase. And it's beautiful work. So if you resonate to this as one of your intentions for the year to become more kind, pick up Michael's work because it's really very beautiful. And what I realize in this millennium that's about connection, in this month that is about encouraging us to move our connections up to an unconditional level, there's this wonderful card in the Osho Zen deck, and it's the card of friendship, and it's got two trees standing there, and both are just beautiful and glorious with the color they produce, and one is yellow and one is red. And both of those trees is strong and independent, and its roots reach deep into the earth. And it's flowers and limbs reach toward the sunshine, reach toward the heavens. And each is strong and independent and self-sufficient on its own. So when the trees come together, they are not looking to lean on each other. They're not looking to take resources from the other to survive. They simply come together in a beautiful dance where, as their leaves and flowers commingle, they create all kinds of different rays of colors of oranges and peaches and add to the beauty and richness beyond what each of them could create individually. So if we look at those trees as each relationship in our life, how do we become more of those people who we are the connection between heaven and earth? We are self-sufficient. We are not looking for the relationships in our life to fulfill us, to complete us, to make us more beautiful. We are simply there to enjoy the dance of life with each other and to marvel at what we can create together. So as we move each relationship to this level of unconditional love, I started thinking about, well, what is love? And in our society, we certainly have an awful lot of concepts of love. And yet in some languages, there are dozens of words that help you describe flavors of love. And yet in English, we don't really have that. And so sometimes love, the word, gets tarnished with all of the things that have gone with it in a time of limitations, all the hurt and the loss and the betrayal and the disappointment and all these things. So I said, well, what do we want to focus on with love? And I ended up downloading a book on my Kindle on my flight back that I didn't even know what it was about. It was called The Greatest Gift by Paulo Coelho. And it was focused on Corinthians. And I'm not a big fan of quoting the Bible, but this one touched me. And what it was reminding us that love is patience. Love is kindness. Love is humility. It's about respect, truth, protection, trust, hope, and perseverance. And so as you're setting your intentions, I realized that this was something for me that is one of my intentions for the year, is to improve that quality of connection with myself, with my soul, with the people in my life, and to bring more love into my life, because love is one of the greatest forces of creation. And in this month, it's about creation and co-creation. If we go back to the fundamentals that we are actually made of love and light, the more we can tap into those frequencies and bring more of those into our day-to-day, both receiving, transmitting, and being vessels of that love, of that patience, of that kindness, of the humility, of respect, of truth, and protection, and trust, and hope, and perseverance. We improve the quality of all our relations. We improve the quality of our creations. And in doing so, we end up loving ourselves more. Because when we come from that place, we are much more fulfilled in our life. We are much more who we came here to be. So that, Salazar, is some of the thoughts I wanted to share.
And I wanted to call back to the Michael Chase thing to remind folks that his first book was called Am I Being Kind? And he shares his personal story, which is not a very heartwarming story of his upbringing, and how he starts to preface his encounters with other people by that question of, am I being kind? And I had forgotten about that, so I'm glad Kira brought that up to remind us about, as we're going through our daily practice, we have to stop thinking in terms of what's in it for me, but what am I putting out, what ripples am I putting out into the pond of life, and asking ourselves, am I being kind, before we act, react, or express ourselves, is a wonderful way to start. Even if the end result is still a reaction that you may later say, gee, I kind of wish I didn't do that, that's okay. But at least start by asking the question, am I being kind?
And by doing that simple question, it puts us back in our heart. And if we're talking about creation and co-creation, our PowerPoint for creation is coming from the heart. It is the things that we have passion about, the things that we have strong emotion about, positive or negative, aligning. So if you think of your heart and your sacral chakra as your primary centers for creation and co-creation, so then you line that up and you say, the only role of the mind now is to focus our thoughts and actions on fulfilling that creation, on dreaming that into existence. When we try to create from our mind, disconnected from our heart, it's taking the gas out of the gas tank. So, yes, can we create some things from that? Yes. Is that where the magic is? No. So, in this mental week, if you find yourself in your head, go back to that question, am I being kind? And in my life, there's been a couple of exercises that I've been asked to do for various things, where relationships that, you know, these people, we've done work together and projects together, and but we're jointly saying, it's time to go deeper. And we are actually sharing with each other our vulnerabilities, moving beyond the masks that we put out to people to be the professional exterior or the buffer zone between our real self and the world, to try to protect ourselves from being rejected or being judged or found wanting. The more we can come from that unique, authentic person that we are, from our heart, the more powerful those connections become, the more powerful our ability to co-create becomes. So be willing in this week to set aside all of those protective shields, to in each relationship, to just open up a little more, be a little more vulnerable, share your truth, share your desire, share your vision, share your hope. And in that, just see what happens. See what transpires. Look at it as a grand experiment.
You know, for the last couple of months also, I've been sharing with the listeners that it's time for us to be honest and confront the BS. And that also, I mean that from a heart-centric place, but from a true place. It's time for us to not... And you mentioned, Kira, on the way back, for instance, a gentleman who was on the airplane next to you and was talking about all the money President Obama has spent taking vacations with his family. And you addressed that back to him at that time. But I wanted to share with the listeners that there's I have a list here of 18 different things that people accuse of Obama of, and one of them, let's see, where was it about? He takes too many vacations. So as of August 16th of 2013, which is when this list was compiled, Obama had taken 92 days of vacation versus 367 for George W. Bush. So over the same period of time, George W. Bush had taken 367 days of vacation, and all we hear about is Obama taking all this vacation days, and especially all the supposed money he's spending to frivolously take vacation days. He's only taken 92. Now, I agree that he has to fly. He flies to Hawaii with his family and stuff because that's the state where he grew up. But that has nothing to do with it. That's not going to take up 367 days. There are so many other things about them that I'm not going to go into it at this time, but I did want to address that one back. But one thing that I would like to address back is this. It was an article that was San Francisco Gate, actually, so it was in the Chronicle. And it started with, "Obama is the worst thing to ever happen to this country," declares the wealthy, rakish, silver-haired Newport Beach white guy to a small group of perfectly tanned 50-something females sitting just a few feet from us at a stunning restaurant patio overlooking the sun-kissed California coastline just off Highway 1. As he sipped his Pinot and adjusted his wraparound Ray-Bans, flush from the economy's spectacular recovery that has benefited his exact demographic most of all, stroking his purebred dog and taking various selfies with their $500 phones, oblivious to the furious swirls of irony and hypocrisy fluttering just above their heads. This is a beautiful article written, "The Best Worst President Ever," by Mark Morford, and it was in the News and Errata in the San Francisco Gate. Now, Mark laughed out loud, in, as he states in his articles, but they couldn't hear him because he said Mr. Newport Beach was also saying something about how Obamacare is an unmitigated disaster, despite, however, the fact that it isn't. And if America were to somehow actually develop a healthcare system similar to Canada's, that would be the end of America for certain. We'd never recover from such a devastating blow. Or something to that effect, according to Mr. Newport Beach. But in this article, what Mark points out is that he wanted to ask Mr. Newport Beach what his stock portfolio looked like a mere 6 or 7 years ago when Bush and company ravaged the country and led us into one of the deepest, most brutal social and economic pits in modern history. Did he lose half his net worth? More? Was he worried he couldn't feed his family or pay his mortgage? Did he lose his house, his job? Did he blame Bush, Clinton, Islam, the gays? And by the way, how does he like the recovery so far? Which of his three perfect multi-million-dollar homes was he on the way to right now? Mark also wanted to know, when Bush Cheney lied to the world and openly violated the tragedy of 9/11 and invaded Iraq, killing tens of thousands, was Mr. Newport Beach furious at that time? What about now, when even Fox News is calling out Cheney and declaring the Iraq invasion a colossal mistake, a lie from which we're still unable to extricate ourselves? Nevertheless, Obama ended Bush's disastrous war like he said he would, on time and under budget. Does that matter to Mr. Newport Beach? And what of his female companions? I wonder if he knows that upwards of 99% of sexually active women have used some form of contraception. Is he in line with the GOP's recent spate of nasty, misogynistic, and anti-abortion spew? What about the awful Supreme Court decision, the Hobby Lobby decision, further bashing women and Obama's immediate moves to defend women's rights? Is he aware of those decisions? Mark figures that the women might be, or surely their daughters are. And what about the stock market? The Dow dances around record highs. Wall Street snorts rails of finely chopped gold every day. The income gap between the 1% and everyone else is more demeaning than ever. And the banks aren't fundamentally changed in the slightest. Why isn't Mr. Newport Beach positively orgasmic about the Obama administration's generally wealth-favoring policies that made it all happen? Say what you like, but Obama managed to do what nearly all economists and pundits thought impossible back in 2008. He reversed the ugliest GOP-led social and economic tailspin in modern history and made guys like Mr. Newport Beach richer than ever. Now, Mark thought Mr. Newport Beach looked good, healthy, fit, good teeth, thick head of silver hair. That prostate cancer scare a couple of years back was probably easily nipped by a few wildly expensive treatments he never paid a dime for. And who did pay for his insurance? His company? Medicare? Did he have any idea of what it was like not to be able to afford it or to be offered any in the first place? So Mark sipped his rosé, took a deep breath, enjoyed the magnificent landscape as one final predominant thought swam into view. How? How can there be such a radical disconnect between Mr. Newport Beach's engorged portfolio, his fantastic insurance plan, his low mortgage rate and grotesque corporate privilege, most of it born of the past 6 years, and Obama's overall policy success? Does he consider it all just a fluke, dumb luck? Is he drunk on Limbaugh and Fox News, unable to see actual facts? Since Obama took office, corporate profits are way up. So is business investment, job growth, retail sales, manufacturing? Want to buy another house? Interest rates are fantastic. The housing crisis has largely subsided, and home foreclosures are way down. Also, people are buying lots of cars. And there's a fully recovered auto industry ready to meet demand. Did he know federal discretionary spending is well below average, or that the poverty rate has stabilized and the stock market, as mentioned, is breaking records, benefiting rich white dudes more than ever? Of course, it's all pretty shaky, flawed and imbalanced, and could give out at any second, but that's just the nature of the excruciatingly complex, unstable world economy these days. And while corporations are raking it in, workers are seeing less and less of their fair share. There's still a myriad of problems, and the president's policies are far from perfect. No parties ever are. Regardless, given the impossible economic hell pit that he was left with, it's unlikely that any president could possibly have done better. Mark said, clearly he's missing something, a huge bed of terrifying data to prove all these respectable charts and graphs must be wrong. But where is it? He's heard Mr. Newport Beach's lament 1,000 times, but he's yet to see any evidence that proves those laments. The bottom line seemed obvious to Mark. Much to the GOP's bitter revulsion, it turns out a calm, intellectual black man really can run an entire country. Certainly far better than an inarticulate Texas bumbler, and even in the face of what is easily the most obstructionist, hateful, acidic, and often downright racist Congress in modern times, quite an achievement, really. So, for all of those listening, this is Mark Morford, M-O-R-F-O-R-D, the best, worst president ever. This article was in San Francisco Gate, which is actually an electronic version, I believe, of the San Francisco Chronicle. And I felt it was just in line with the idea of we, as progressives, as liberals, as people, need to stop letting the BS rule the airwaves and stop letting the BS rule the conversation. Be willing to speak facts, not emotion. Don't be willing to challenge or address. Mark sat there and thought of all this and wrote an articulate article. He didn't confront Mr. Newport Beach and his females. He didn't need to. He didn't need to ruin that event for everybody involved. And the conversation wasn't being directed at him to begin with. It was just overheard. But he did what was appropriate. He addressed the facts. You know, a letter was sent. An open letter. You Americans have no ideas how the letter started. Many of us Canadians are confused by the U.S. midterm elections. Consider right now in America. Corporate profits are at record highs. The country's adding 200,000 jobs per month. Unemployment is below 6%. Yes, below 6%. U.S. gross national product growth is the best of the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development countries. The dollar is at its strongest level in years. The stock market is at record highs. Gasoline prices have fallen, although lately we've seen them come back up. There's no inflation. Interest rates are the lowest in 30 years. U.S. oil imports are declining. U.S. oil production is rapidly increasing. The deficit is rapidly declining. And the wealthy are still making astonishing amounts of money. America is leading the world once again and respected internationally, in sharp contrast to the Bush years. Obama brought soldiers home from Iraq and killed Osama bin Laden. So Americans vote for the party that got you into the mess that Obama just dug you out of. This defies reason. When you're done with Obama, can you send him our way? Signed, Richard Brunt, Victoria, British Columbia. That's just for our awareness and knowledge of how we tend to act against our own best interests. And one of the ways we act against our own best interest is failing to not vote in sufficient numbers to defeat those fanatics that are trying to drive our country into the grave. We listened over the weekend to something called The Cult of Dusty. And one of the things Dusty did say, which was very entertaining, and perhaps I'll find a version that I can play here. But one of the things Dusty did say, it's not our country, love it or leave it. A true hero, a true patriot, stays here to work on those things that they would like to resolve and to fix. Let's make this country the dream of what it was intended to be. It's a country where all ideas, all peoples, all approaches, all attitudes, all cultures are welcomed with open arms and opportunities are available. That comes from love. That doesn't come from hate. That comes from the unconditionality that Kira was talking about. So, Kira, those are some of the things I was hoping to share, which were stimulated by the idea of the conversation you had on the airplane.
Well, and it's interesting because I found myself responding in a different way in talking to this gentleman on the plane. Because normally I would just shut down and kind of say, well, he's entitled to his opinion, I'm entitled to mine. But I felt really compelled to very gently, right, and from the heart, question, is that really true? And it was interesting because going back to Byron Katie's The Work, she asks four simple questions, right? Is that true? Is that really true? And I think some of the people in certain parts of the country where the only news outlet that they get is Fox News or O'Reilly or Rush Limbaugh and the cast of the right-wing characters, they don't have a lot of other sources of input. And so as I was talking through this with this guy, I felt like I couldn't just let it lie. Isn't that the Harry Met Sally line? You know, you just couldn't let it lie because it isn't truth. And sometimes just asking the question, and what I realized we got to in the conversation was to say, but is that really what's essential right now? Is how many trips the president took or the amount of money that was spent flying, you know, Air Force Two around or whatever it's called that the family flies in, is that essential to where we are right now? Is that where we should be putting our energy and focus? And we ended up getting into this conversation about energy because he worked in the oil and gas business and about why did we get into the Gulf War? And it turned out to be a very illuminating conversation on both sides, which normally I wouldn't have even gotten into because I would have stopped at pretty much at hello. And so I think it kind of serves as an example of each of the people that we engage with, whether it's on a plane or in the line at the supermarket, there's always this opportunity to bring a little more light, a little more illumination. And that isn't saying that one person's point of view is correct and the other's isn't. It's saying, how can we expand the conversation? How can we examine our own beliefs and areas where maybe we're being narrow-minded? How can we look at the broader perspective? So in a mental week, it's always good for us to challenge ourselves to not shrink back from the truth, but to go deeper.
Well, and I think it's interesting that the conversation took that turn anyway, because once again, that's just a meme from the right wing of trying to say, well, you know, in these times, you know, he shouldn't be taking vacations. When actually, part of the issue is we don't allow sufficient vacation time in this country because we have the belief that if you put the nose to the grindstone, it's so much better than actually allowing yourself to de-stress and calm down. Frankly, I think 92 days in 6 years for the president is very little time when you think about it. So that, with the pressures on him. So, but it's interesting that you were able to create that connection and establish that. So I think that that was wonderful part. But I just, one meme leads to another, leads to another. Sometimes listening to some of the folks talking with Hal on the morning show or some of the other shows with Tom Hartman, when I listen to some of these folks, what it really is that it's one meme after the other, after the other, after the other, and it's never an answer or addressing the issue. So,
well, and what we ended up talking about is how a lot of these things end up serving as a distraction of the American public to keep them from focusing on what really is important and what really matters. So when we go back to looking at May as a creative month and the power of co-creation, if we as a country could come together and focus on those elements that are essential, think of the power. And that's what this country was founded on. That's what America was founded on, was that power of co-creation of the people.
So were you saying that your discussion was about having the discussion even about his vacation time was the distraction?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's powerful. Now, that's a powerful turn of that conversation. I think that that's great. I think that that's great. So that's all wonderful. And we're coming up to the close of Good Vibrations Radio. What we want to let you know is that tomorrow we're talking to Dr. Johnny Lopes. He is the team psychiatrist for the Brooklyn Nets. And it's about his latest book, Reinvent Yourself. So how do you take your story and reframe it and reinvent yourself? Just as Motto was talking about, there's no reason for us to be held back for an old story, an old meme, or an old emotional wound that we haven't released yet. So this is Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar and Kirilani. We want to thank you for listening. Turn the lead in your life into gold. Many blessings. Namaste.